Welcome. Sorry, I tried to be in three places at one time, and obviously it didn't work. Welcome to University United Methodist Church. It's Steve Bacon. Welcome you to this beautiful October 1st morning. If you are new to us and need to find out more about who we are and what we do, both in the back part of the church and the side, we have this brochure. Looks like this. It's great. It has a whole bunch of information of things we do in the church, the life of our church, how you can participate and be in that. So certainly, if you get a chance later on, pick one of those up and find out who we are. More importantly, whatever brings you here this morning, be it custom, crisis, or curiosity, you are welcome. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here, peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. Inside your bulletin this morning, there is a slip. It's lavender in color. It does a few things for us. You can fill out your name and your address or any contact information you have. That then gets dropped off in the offering plate later on during the service. But if you have a prayer request, there's a portion of that, you can do that. Go ahead and put that on it, and the ushers later on will share that. We are a community of faith, and we like to know those joys and concerns of our congregation. So certainly please fill those out and hand those in at that time. If you need to find out more about the order of the service, certainly it's up on the screen or the bulletins you have. We also have in the pews a QR code, which is what you can use if you have a smartphone. Scan that, and you can certainly follow along. That's, once again, in the back of that lavender slip I was just telling you about. There are restrooms available to you. They're out the doors to my right, your left. You can follow the arrows back there. There are also some in the back of the church, but those require you to go downstairs. If you need to soothe yourself or a young one, please be aware that we do have rocking chairs in the back, and we do have child care available also on there. Just make sure if you have young ones leaving the sanctuary, we do have a safe sanctuary policy that we want our young people to be accompanied during the time of the service by an adult. Things going on in life of our church, many, many things in the bulletin. Let me just touch upon two quick ones, one of which is we have jail ministry bread that's on sale today in the gathering room after the service, so please take the time to certainly see that and participate in that. Is also coffee today, too, or not? That went on hold. Okay, so it's just the jailbread ministry is available to you. And our pastor had a quick announcement.
Good morning. I do have an announcement. The SPRC has hired a new music director, and I would like to introduce her to all of you. Come on over. I would like to introduce you to Amy DeBurgess. She will be our new music director. Come on up here so they can see you. I'm letting her stand on my stool up here. So you'll learn more about Amy in the days and weeks and years to come. And I know that there'll be some information about her background and everything in our chime. So be sure to read that upcoming issue. Thanks for joining us.
Yes. And thank you for inviting me. It's already been a wonderful journey with the choir, so I'm excited to meet everyone else and get involved in some more activities like we've talked about. So
awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, there's certainly many more opportunities and you can find those in your bulletin. Let's now continue in a spirit of meditation as we begin our service.
Good morning again. I'm honored to say I'm the pastor here. I'm Pastor Alicia Wood. Welcome. Our worship series theme is Stained Glass. I love to tell the story. We are surrounded in this space by the stories of Jesus as told through our stained glass windows. The windows have been telling this story since 1921, after being rebuilt, the sanctuary being rebuilt after a fire. And this is the year of dedication. Each of the eight sets of windows along the side of the sanctuary depict a period of Jesus' life and ministry. And the window behind the organ displays his ascension into heaven at the end of his earthly ministry. As we reflect each week on one of the sets of windows, we are beginning to get an idea as we think about situations we find ourselves in each day of WWJD, what would Jesus do? So this week brings us to our final window, the window we can't see. This window, the ascension window, marks the moment Jesus left the physical realm of earth and ascended into heaven, where he is shown surrounded by any number of angels and other earthly beings. Come by in the evening one night to look at the window from the outside. We have it backlit, and as you drive by or walk by, you can see this beautiful window. It is a little ironic that we cannot see the window, because this window describes the moment when Jesus' followers could no longer see him either. Just before Jesus ascended to heaven, he told his followers that you are witnesses of these things. Because of their witnessing to Jesus' ministry of compassion and justice, 2,000 years later, we still know the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Today, we too are called to witness to the love of a Christ that we cannot see. During this worship series, we have learned something about Jesus, what Jesus did, and we have tried to understand what it means for us today. And so as we leave our series today, let us continue to think about what would Jesus do today with all the resources we have, and what will we do? Will you please rise if you're able and join me in singing our theme song? I love to tell the story. It'll be on the screen, and it's in your blue hymnal. And we'll sing verse 1 and 4.
Remain standing, and if you are able, and join me in the call to worship. We gather to worship together. Yet all children of the same parent. We gather to reconnect with one another. Yet, all disciples of one teacher. We gather with different joys and sorrows, different hopes and fears. Yet, one people with one God, one faith, one baptism. Let us open ourselves to the presence of God at work among us and through us. Amen. And what kind of people would we be if we didn't take a moment to greet one another, to share good morning, peace be with you, to shake hands and see each other? And so I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with your neighbors.
Will the children please come forward if they're comfortable?
There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. Aquí coopana no Jesu. Aquí coopana nene. Aquí coopana no Jesu. Aquí coopana nae.
Good morning. How are all of you today? I'm glad to see all of you. What did you do this morning in Sunday school? Was there anything that you did this morning in Sunday school? What did you do? You did nothing? I'm sure you did something. What did you do? Yes. Hold on.
Played chess.
You played chess? Okay. What else?
We went to a water park.
No, you didn't go to a water park this morning. This morning. Oh, Sunday school. What did you do? So this summer you went to a water park. That sounds very fun. But what did you do this morning in Sunday school? Oh, excuse me. Miss Jeannie tells me before Sunday school. What did you do? What did you do when you first got here? What did you do? I want to hold on. Let's see if someone else answers. Anyone else? No. Okay. What did you?
We had bagels.
You had bagels? Yes, you did. Okay. What else did you do? Yes. Yes. Let's hear it.
We made buckets for the hurricane.
We made buckets for the hurricane. That's right. We made flood buckets. Yes.
We learned about hurricanes and people who don't have homes anymore.
Eric, thanks for sharing that with me, because that's what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you, why were you making the flood buckets? And Eric just told me because of the hurricanes and because some people don't have homes to live in right now. So did anyone learn anything else about why we made the flood buckets? Yeah?
Because you have to help people.
Because we have to help people, yes, absolutely. Any other reason that you heard today that we make flood buckets? Okay, so flood buckets, the United Methodist Church, the big United Methodist Church, like the global church, has a thing called UMCOR, United Methodist Committee on Relief. And they always have these flood buckets in storage so that if a hurricane happens, people and the buckets can be right there and helping people right away. And so I'm so grateful that you all did this. We made flood buckets to keep those warehouses stocked so that if anything happens, they're available for anyone who needs it. So I'm grateful to the congregation because they're the ones who brought in the funds and the products that you use to create the flood buckets. So thank you, congregation, and thank you, children, for taking care of that. And so how did it make you feel to be able to make these flood buckets and help people? How did that make you feel? How did it make you feel?
Great.
It made you feel great? Anyone else? How did anyone else feel?
A little sad.
A little sad, yeah. Sad that people are suffering, right? Any other reason, any other feelings that came up as you were, yes?
Poor.
You felt poor? You felt like you wish you could do more? Yeah. Any other feelings? Well, I'm so grateful that you did this and that you understand that we are to help people. That's part of our job is to help people. So I'm wondering, will you pray with me? Will you pray with me? Okay. Loving God, we thank you for these children and their knowledge and love of you. We thank you that they learn today that people do suffer, but we as human beings and as Christians can do things to help others, that we are to love our neighbors. And we're grateful for all that you have given us and all this love and knowledge that you have given us so that we can be here today and do these good works. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can go back and sit with whoever you came with for the rest of the worship today, and I thank you for coming up and sharing with me. So we are blessed because now we get to hear our choir.
Catch our breath for a minute and join together in a time of prayer where we will pray silently, followed by a short spoken prayer and then the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or whatever language that helps you feel closest to God. Let us pray together. Creator God, we are grateful to be together in this place with these people today. This is a day of celebration. It is the start of a brand new month, and with that, possibilities, excitement, birthdays, anniversaries, births, a new month lying right out in front of us like a blank piece of paper. It is a time of a season that many, many savor with the golds and the reds and the browns and the oranges and the crispness being felt on our skin, and we are grateful. And we pray that we pause and take some of this in. This is also a day of celebration in the Universal Church as we celebrate World Communion Sunday, where people all over the world, Christians around the world, are sharing at the table in the Lord's meal. This is also a day where we can pause and think about how much we care, perhaps how frightened we feel, perhaps how conflicted we feel. And we pause in prayer to think about people in Puerto Rico, in the Virgin Islands, on the island of Dominica, in Mexico, people who are struggling and who are suffering. And we pray that we continue to remember and help, whether it's in buckets or dollars or prayer or thought or seeking recognition of our government to help. Any of these ways, we think about today how much we can care. We think of friends and family. We think of children. We think of people in our community. And we know that we are all your people. We pray for those who've been named, for those fighting illness, for those feeling grief, for those disjointed or displaced, for those who have hopes, and for those who have joys. We also appreciate that we have heard in these last few weeks the stories of Jesus as told on these beautiful colored windows, and we think of how we can be witnesses of those stories here, there, beyond, Sunday through Saturday, every single week. We pray, God, that you help us stop today to breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in your very spirit in each thought we think, in each word we say, and in everything we do. And together now, we pray in community the prayer that we have learned from Jesus. Mother, Father, God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. And in this passage, we will be learning about the relationship between Jesus' final words to his followers and a promise of the heavenly power that will be theirs. I will be reading from the Common English Bible. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And the change of heart and life for the forgiveness of sins must be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I'm sending to you what God promised, but you are to stay in the city until you have been furnished with heavenly power." He led them out as far as Bethany, where he lifted his hands and blessed them. And as he blessed them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem overwhelmed with joy, and they were continuously in the temple praising God. Today, Eileen Schell will be sharing a contemporary reading, On the Road from Emmaus, A Story from Cleopas's Wife, written by Carol Penner. Now, many scholars believe that Cleopas's wife was Jesus' aunt. And the words that Eileen is reading will not be on the screen, but they are on the online order of worship. So, pause. There's that breath again. Get comfortable in your seat. Take and release that breath and travel back together 2,000 years to hear this witness.
It was just too intense. We had to get away. So much crying, so much sadness, Mary Magdalene wailing, Peter groaning out loud every 5 minutes and pounding his fists against his knees. But worst of all was Jesus' mother Mary just sitting, motionless, holding her sides, staring into space. Almost as if she was waiting for something. There was nothing to wait for. It was over. Finished. As final as the thunk of that rock falling into place over the entrance to the tomb. There's something you can hang on to. Death. The one certainty. Now it claimed even Jesus, our Lord. We had hoped. Well, we had hope for a lot of things. Jesus brought hope to so many. The woman at the well in Samaria, remember how he treated her with respect? Or that bent over woman. Who would have thought she could stand so tall? And that woman caught in adultery. She thought she was a goner. She lay face down on the ground, and it was Jesus who lifted her up. Or the way he cried with Mary and Martha as they grieved the death of their brother Lazarus. Then instead of mourning in his tomb, Jesus yelling, Lazarus, come out! And Lazarus coming out of the tomb. I tell you, the shock of it nearly killed us. It was beyond believing. That was what it was. It was hope beyond believing. And yet we did believe. We did hope. We had faith that Jesus was the Messiah to save us, to deliver us from these Romans, to establish Israel as a light to all the nations. Now, was it only last week that Jesus rode into Jerusalem? The crowds cheering, the children waving branches. Hosanna, they cried. And we cried too. Tears of joy. Finally, Jesus getting what he deserved. Honor. And praise and glory as the holy city welcomed its own. How naive we were, those crowds, so fickle. We should never have believed them. I feel I can never trust anyone again. For it was not a stranger that betrayed Jesus, but one of us, even one of Jesus's 12. The Pharisees, always on the lookout, bribed Judas to turn Jesus over. The disciples were in the garden when the soldiers came for Jesus, armed with clubs and swords, as for a common criminal. Clubs and swords for someone whose only crime was healing, whose only fault was feeding the hungry, whose only vice was telling the truth. We had hardly heard the news he was arrested before he was raced to trial. The council, Herod, and Pilate all in one night. Crucify him, the crowds cried. Release Barabbas, they shouted. Their hosannas entirely forgotten. We kept hoping for some miracle, some bright light like on the mountaintop, some stilling of the storm of accusations, some breaking of the chains. Like the day Jesus turned over the tables in the temple. But Jesus was as silent as a lamb with a knife at its neck. We women followed as he carried his cross, our tears, a river behind us, still hoping for some miracle, some divine power, some angel army. The guards kept us at a distance, but we could hear the hammer as they nailed him to the cross. We held his mother so tight, her body flinching with every sound, and we saw him hang there, each minute passing like an hour, until he was given up in his spirit, his broken, bloody body carried to the tomb. After that, it was always only people crying, or people too cried out to cry anymore. My friends went this morning to the tomb. They left with tears and spices to anoint the body. But almost immediately, we heard their hurried footsteps as they came back, racing with news of a stone rolled away, an empty tomb, and an angel messenger who said Jesus was raised from the dead. Our eyes all turned to Mary, and we saw a smile transfiguring her face. But then the arguing broke out. What could this mean? And some doubting the women's stories, others defending it. Hard words were spoken. We were under so much stress, you see. Tempers were at the breaking point, and there was nothing to do. The tomb was empty, yes, but perhaps this was the work of the Romans. One last indignity to Jesus' body. We couldn't take it anymore. All the noise and conflict after such a week. Cleopas and I headed home to Emmaus. We thought it would clear our heads, but each step away from Jerusalem found us rehearsing every event over and over again. That's when the stranger appeared. He was clueless. He hadn't heard a thing about Jesus. We had to tell him the whole story from start to finish. You can only imagine our surprise when instead of feeling sorry for us, he lit into us, telling us we didn't know what we were talking about. Before we could get a word in edgewise, he started explaining it from beginning to end, showing us how scriptures pointed to these very things. He had us hoping again. Maybe, that maybe, just maybe, we didn't want to let him go. We'd reached our house, and we urged him to stay. We needed to hear more. Hope had died these last 3 days, and he had resurrected it. It was when we were sitting at the table and we passed him the bread. He picked it up, and he said a prayer just as he broke it. Suddenly, those hands were familiar hands. Those arms. That neck, that face, it was the Lord. Our eyes locked on his, and then he vanished. He was there, and then he was not there. But what was not gone, what will never be gone, is the hope that filled us in that moment. We suddenly knew beyond believing that Christ our Lord was risen from the dead. We had seen him with our own eyes. We had heard his voice, and with one heart, Cleopas and I clasped hands and ran straight back to the disciples through the darkening night, tears catching first one of us and then the other. We could stop, gasping for breath, looking up into the dark night, the stars shining and shining. As we smiled our way to Jerusalem, we broke into the room where they were gathered and bursting with good news. The Lord's not dead. Our hope's not gone. Our Savior is risen, triumphant over every force that would kill him. All that night, we talked to Jesus, our voices ringing with hope, our heads filled with plans to go to Galilee. We laid our weary heads together to sleep with the bright morning star shining in the east.
The word and wisdom of God for the people of God. This beautiful contemporary reading may give us a new or deeper perspective of the disciples' journey with Jesus. As we come to the last window in our sanctuary and our last Sunday in our worship series, let's share a moment to just take it all in. Let's look around at the colors, at the images, at the stories in our windows. We are so blessed. Sometimes the chaos of life and the world seem too much. Please know you are welcome anytime to stop in and sit in this sacred place, get some quiet, and look around and remember Jesus' ministry, life, death, and Jesus' love. As we heard today through scripture and this poem from Carol Penner, read eloquently by Eileen, the disciples and others around Jesus were witnesses to Jesus' life, ministry, death, resurrection, and even his ascension. Through the reading, we overheard the conversation the disciples had while walking to Emmaus. As they walked and talked, we are reminded how easy it is to lose sight or to lose hope in Jesus. After Jesus' death, the disciples were devastated. They had hoped that Jesus would live, would do something, do anything to live and continue his ministry, continue his friendships, and continue his unending conversation of love. These were the witnesses to the good news we read about in the Gospels, and even these witnesses sometimes forgot or didn't understand Jesus' teachings, and sometimes they even lost hope. The witnesses finally realized the man they had spent the day with on their walk to Emmaus, the first Easter, was Jesus when he broke bread at the supper table. They were brought out of their trance of grief and disappointment. This interaction gave sight and voice that Jesus' resurrection is not the end, but the beginning of a new mission. Jesus declared, "You are witnesses." They finally knew they were truly the witnesses of something larger than they ever could have imagined. As Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples for the first time worshiped and praised him. They learned once again from Jesus' teachings, and they had hope and passion in whatever was to come next. Today we are witnesses to the words we read and the works we see. We lose hope sometimes, just like the disciples. We lose hope because in our lives we are pushed to our limits. We lose hope because the world around us seems to be in chaos. The things that were norms are no longer respected. We learn that history has played tricks on us. We see suffering over and over again, and we feel helpless from such a distance. And then, just like the disciples, we are reminded of Jesus' life, death, ministry, and the new covenant through the breaking of bread. And we have a little more hope. Today we are celebrating World Communion Sunday. Christians around the world will receive Holy Communion during these 24 hours. Some will receive the elements in secret because they aren't able to practice Christianity. Some will receive these elements in a different way because their churches have been destroyed. And some, like here, will receive as we have every day in the last few Sundays that we can remember. Each of us will remember. We will remember we are witnesses of Jesus' works. We see Jesus' works in Joe Kennedy as he speaks about the least of these in the House of Representatives. We see Jesus' works in the pantries across the country, including the one here at University Church. We see Jesus' works in activism. We see Jesus works in the Syracuse Peace Council. We see Jesus works in the CNY Solidarity Coalition. We see Jesus works in the sanctuary churches that are working together to find a safe place for undocumented folks. We see Jesus works in jailbread ministries. We see Jesus works in flood buckets. We see Jesus works in UMCOR. We see Jesus works in McMahon Ryan Advocacy Center. We see Jesus works in Friends of Dorothy, just to name a few. We are witnesses and are reminded of Jesus and his ministry each and every time we see his works and break bread, especially here together in community. Jesus told us how to be a disciple. The disciple is to witness, to share the story, share one's own faith story, and share the love of Jesus through action. Jesus left, but he didn't leave. As Boyner Jr. says, Jesus left the disciples even as he was blessing them. He declared, "You are witnesses." Well, what will we do with this statement? Will we continue Jesus' call upon us? Are we ready to be disciples? Will we reread the Gospels with a new disciple's eye? Today, as we break bread together, let us remember Jesus and the new covenant of hope, of grace, of forgiveness, of love, and of new life. As Christians around the world receive Holy Communion, let us remember Jesus offered hope to the hopeless, people just like you and like me. Remember, Jesus declared, "You are witnesses." Amen. So before we get into this really beautiful liturgy, I'd like to explain how Holy Communion starts and how the mechanics of it, so that we can go right into it after we speak and share this time together. Okay, so there will be two stations for Holy Communion. One will be here, and the other one will be at the end of this aisle. And each station will have the same thing. First, it will have gluten-free bread only. You can select a piece, and then you can either dip that piece into the cup of grape juice and receive Holy Communion by intinction and then eat it. And then you can sit, kneel at the communion rail if you'd like, or go sit back in your seat and reflect. There's another option. You can take a piece of bread. You can eat it right away. You can drink a little cup of juice and then put the cup into the basket. And again, if you choose, you can kneel at the communion rail or go sit and reflect. Today, as we receive Holy Communion, we'll be singing and listening, however you choose, to a song called "Come to the Table of Grace." And the words, the "Come to the Table of Love, of Joy," it will change a little bit, but it will be on the screen. And if you just want to reflect, that's okay too. If you're so moved, please sing along with us. And finally, all are truly welcome to the table. There's not one thing you need to do to receive this. Grace abounds. So let us begin. As we gather at the table, we come from many places.
Differing in age, differing in race, differing in orientation, politics, and even religion.
We come together around the table. We discover that our differences are not something we tolerate, but that our differences are indeed a blessing.
The more difference we bring, the more fully we experience the presence of the sacred in our midst.
So come, children of God, just as you are, wherever you are on this journey of life, you are welcome here, here in this place, here in this community, here at this table.
Come, children of God, come and remember with us. It began last night as we all were going to bed, World Communion Sunday. Asian Christians shared the bread and the wine. Churches in China met in secret so that they would not be arrested. Christians in the Middle East, some of whom were saved only by having dreams of Jesus, met under the watchful eye of the government as they celebrated the Eucharist. In Europe, Christians gathered in churches that used to be much fuller and celebrated the Lord's Supper. In Africa, the sacrament was celebrated in great numbers by a growing number of Christians, many of whom bear scars of persecution, as they commune together. Those celebrating today include Presbyterians, Methodists, Catholics, Lutherans, Pentecostals, Baptists, thousands of other denominations, and those without denominations. Christ followers met both in public and in secret. Some met in freedom, while others gathered under threat of persecution and death. Some take the sacrament today with organ music, others with simple singing, and still others in quiet so as not to be arrested. In wealthy churches and in desperate poverty, the sacrament is observed. In churches, homes, huts, and in God's creation, this seal of the covenant was experienced. The bread is given to people that could overeat all day and to people who had no idea what they would eat, or where they would even get it today.
The one thing in common, we all come to the same table of our Lord. So with those from every time and every place, with whom we hold faith in common, we sing your praises forever.
Holy, holy, holy God of grace and hope, all creation praises your glorious name. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes that our joy may be complete. Hosanna in the highest. In many different languages, by ordained clergy and volunteer pastors, something like these words of institution were given.
On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks and blessed it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and gave it to his disciples, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink you all of it."
The bread is many different types and colors and from many places. Some created primarily from wheat, others from rice or other kinds of grain, and some will have bread left over, and some with very small pieces that could barely give every Christian there a morsel. Still, it represented the body of Christ broken, and it sustains the body of Christ around the world today. The Jews around the world will be different. For many, it will be wine, and some will have juice, and some will celebrate with water that had to be carried from a dirty well some miles away. Some will use individual cups, others fancy goblets, and still others have been passing around whatever cup was in the home where they were meeting. Still, it represented the blood of the covenant in their place and in their communities, just as it does in ours.
Let us pray. Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, We thank you for the sacrament of communion shared with Christians around the world. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these elements and on those who partake, that we may be your body and the representation of your covenant in our lives and throughout the world. Amen.
Today, as you receive the elements of bread and juice, remember all of those around the world with whom you share the table this day. And as Alicia said, as we receive communion, we will be singing the song, Come to the Table of Grace. Only one word changes in each verse, so just let the music wash over you as you share this special meal with fellow travelers here and around the world.
Will my servers please come forward? And ushers will guide us when we're ready. As we enter a time of giving, I'd like to remind everyone to please place your attendance slip into the plate as our ushers come down the aisle. And I'd like our first-time visitors to know we do not expect a donation from you today. You are our guest. We are so grateful you are here. Yet we do have a strong tradition of giving here at University Church. So as a symbol of our ministry in this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes, donations, and offerings. Remain standing and join with me in the prayer of dedication that you will see on the screen. This is from the Wiem Palestinian Conflict Resolution Center in Bethlehem. Our meeting is such a precious experience. We thank God for every time we were together before and for every time we can join hands again. We yearn to be present with the Holy Spirit and each other. Beyond sitting together, even beyond pooling our resources in offering, we yearn to pool our talents and energies, joining together in collective responsibility. Make us not each of us, but all of us together into the instrument that mends fractured communities and removes lingering communities. Some of us are missing, whether by choice or circumstances, and still others are yet to come into our lives. We increase our number to bolster the work we do together in our community and the wider world.
We ask these things in your many and blessed name. Amen. Please remain standing and join in singing I Come With Joy, number 617 in the hymnal and also on the screen.
Let us go with Jesus, the light who guides us on our way. May our hope be that the Son of Justice will rise one morning on all humankind. May the God of peace, our constant companion, lead us along paths of solidarity and hope and give us the joy of being united in God's love. Amen. Go now in peace.